working in one particular area, and we were actually working with Methodist Christians, and they were talking to us about a peculiar group of people who actually came to their village and preached, and when people got converted, they said they actually plunged them into water. I said, did they really? Right into water. And he says, quite frankly, he said, we've never seen anything like it before. Now, my dear friends, just for a little while, I want to talk about why we plunge people right into water. Now, first of all, the why of baptism, the who of baptism, the how of baptism. Now, first of all, why do we baptize? Would you turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now you can see from this one reading that Jesus Christ taught that we were to go and teach. That means to make disciples of all nations. And after they have trusted the Lord and started on their pilgrimage as disciples, we were to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then after that, we were to teach them all things whatsoever the Lord had commanded. So we can see that that was the command of the Lord Jesus, and that is why we baptize. Secondly, who do we baptize? Would you please turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 12. And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now you will notice we do not baptize children, but we baptize men and women, those who have reached an age of responsibility. And we baptize those who believe. That means who have completely trusted their soul salvation to the Lord Jesus. Now isn't that clear? So it's believers baptism. Then you will notice, if you go on in this particular page, that if you go down to verse 34, and this is the Ethiopian eunuch, the first coloured man, or black man, I should say, to be saved. Verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaks the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now notice verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, isn't that clear? The people that we baptize are believers in the Lord Jesus, and it's believers who have reached the age of responsibility known in Scripture as men and women. Now, the third question is, how shall we baptize? Now, in Christendom, there are two ways in which a person can be baptized. For instance, some people take water and they sprinkle it or pour it over a person or a child. Others are plunged into water. Now, you will agree with me that if it's a matter of plunging a person into the water, then two people must go into the water and thus the person would be dipped. But if it's a matter of applying the water, a person would go to the water and just take out some water and pour it upon a person. Now, if you look here, you will see very clearly the way in which they baptize. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, and the word simply means he dipped him. He baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So you can see that the biblical way of baptism was not really to apply water to a candidate, but to plunge them into the water. Now, what does it mean? And with this I'll close. Romans 6. Just two verses, 4 and 5. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we take verse 3 too, knowing this, or know ye not, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now, the meaning is quite simple, and I will do a demonstration with my spectacle box, and that is, number one, when the candidate goes, I wonder if we could have that off, I can hardly see to read, that's lovely. When the candidate goes down into the water, it will show that that candidate's old life, his unconverted life, has gone. Finished. That is, the man that he used to be in Adam is no longer. And what a wonderful thing it is to see the end of your old life. Then you will notice that the candidate will go reverently under the water. And I say that because it's very much linked with the death of Christ. And this will be a living illustration to all that the old life has not only gone, it's been buried. So this speaks of the finality of the old life gone. And then you will notice the person will come up out of the water, admittedly wet, but as you see them moving up out of the steps, it is a living symbol that they're going to walk in newness of life. Why? Because Jesus has made them completely new. They are new people, they belong to a new society, and therefore what the candidates are going to say tonight is this: the old life has gone, buried. And as the person comes up out of the water, it's to show to us all that she or he has been made alive from the dead, and they are new creatures, and they are going to walk in newness of life. Now what I'm going to say now, and sit down, is this: if you've never been baptized, please do get baptized, because that's one of the most wonderful symbols that God has given to us. If you have been baptized, ask yourself this question: are you living out your baptismal service? Are you walking in newness of life? Dead to sin, alive unto God. And may it be a time of reconsecration to the Lord. Thank you.